Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following all Bulls games this season, after post-game live. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls _ Peck. You can follow us at Locked On Bulls, and you can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. Hit us up on Instagram, Locked On Bulls, or on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. That text to voicemail line 331-979-1369 for all of your Bulls thoughts, questions, comments, inquiries. I know we got a whole lot of new texts and voicemails in following that loss to the Knicks last night, so we will get to as much of that as we can later on this week. Appreciate everybody who has been using that text to voicemail line aggressively. I know everybody has lots on their mind as the Bulls start their season 1-3. Not exactly what we were looking for. On today's show, I'll give you my thoughts on their late collapse to the Knicks in New York. Big game for Bobby Portis, former Bull. Also, want to dive into some of the questionable rotation issues that this team is having on both ends of the floor. And also touch on the Zach and Lowry duo that Bulls fans were banking on turning into something big this season, and they have certainly had their struggles. So, to start off, I did just want to say that I'm happy for Bobby Portis and congratulate him on a big game last night. I know that that's probably not the first and most important takeaway for most Bulls fans when you realize just what exactly happened last night, the Bulls coughing up an 18-point lead earlier in the game, and then another 8-point lead late in the game. But, and as someone who was on board with the Bobby and Jabari for Otto trade last season, when it went down, I still have always really enjoyed Bobby Portis. And those of you who have listened to our podcast for a while know that Jordan and I did an event with Bobby Portis last September that some of you, our Locked On Bulls faithful, came out to, and thank you to those of you who did. We did our Bullin' with Bobby event. Bobby mopped the floor with Jordan on the lanes at King's Dining and Entertainment, and it was a really fun event. Bobby could not have been nicer and more welcoming and accommodating to agreeing to do the event with us and just spending some time with us and our fellow Bulls fans who were there. And I think Bobby, you know, I'm glad that he found a home in New York, and I think that they're very happy to have him. And you saw how happy he was doing his courtside interview after that game, and you know, he was getting Bobby chants from the, you know, the Knicks faithful at Madison Square Garden, the, you know, one of the biggest stages, if not the biggest stage on NBA basketball, and you could tell it meant a lot to him. And I know that the Bulls and Bobby had a contractual disagreement a little over a year ago when they were trying to figure out whether or not Bobby was going to remain a piece of their core as they're rebuilding this young team. But because of Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr., two, you know, number 7 overall picks, looking like they are going to be the front court of the future, the Bulls were not thrilled with the idea of paying Bobby Portis a big old paycheck to be a bench player. And Bobby was looking for something in, you know, in the realm of 4 years and well over $50 million. And the Bulls were not quite willing to offer that. And Bobby turned down not quite as lucrative, but almost as lucrative offer 2 years ago. And the Bulls probably should be thankful that he turned that down. And then a year later, mid-season, they make a trade and send Bobby away to Washington. And then he signs with the Knicks as a free agent this summer. So I think Bobby just, like, and it annoys me how many jokes people still get, you know, talking about Bobby and the incident with his former teammate, Niko Mirotić, who has now just gone back to play overseas with Barcelona. I mean, the number of jokes I saw about punching Niko, or, you know, the when Jim Boylan said, you know, Bobby Portis is one of the favorite players I've ever coached, and, you know, a bunch of people cracking a joke about, oh, well, that's, you know, it's because Bobby loves punching the clock, in reference to Jim Boylan making his players punch in and out using a time cards and a time clock at the Advocate Center weight room. You know, punching a clock, punching a former teammate. You know, it's an easy joke to make. It's a lazy joke to make. And I just, you know, I've always been frustrated for Bobby that that one incident has sort of, like, become what he's known for in the NBA. He didn't really fit with this team's future. And I don't know for how long he will fit with the Knicks' future, and this Knicks team certainly doesn't look to be anything close to a world beater, and that's why the Bulls shouldn't have lost to him last night, and I'll get to that in a second. But I mean, Bobby Portis was the reason the Knicks won that game. There are several reasons the Bulls lost that game, but when you ask yourself, how did the Knicks win that game? How did the Knicks come back and win that game? The fourth quarter had Bobby Portis written all over it. Three of his made four three-pointers came in the fourth quarter when they were making that run. He was driving right at not only Luke Kornet, who can't play a lick of defense apparently, but also Lauri Markkanen. Also beat Satoransky off the dribble. Bobby was getting to the hole. He was getting and-ones. He was shooting his threes and making his threes. And if Bulls fans had a gripe with Bobby's shot selection when he was here, it would be falling a little too in love with that three-point line and not really having a consistent percentage. He was 4-for-4 last night. And he was scoring at the basket with relative ease. His pump fake before he was letting those shots fly was very effective. Bulls were biting for it all night. Bobby finishes 10 of 14 from the field, 28 points. Oh, and added 11 rebounds as well. The Knicks destroyed the Bulls on the boards last night. Jim Boylan had some thoughts on that. I'll get to that later in today's show as well. So, obviously not great for the Bulls, but you knew that Bobby was going to come out guns blazing for that revenge game. And he even said as much after the game. He said, obviously, the first time you play the team that traded you, there's going to be some extra oomph behind your energy that night. And he said, well, now that that game has come and gone, there's nothing special about it. They're just another opponent. But for that one game last night, you knew that Bobby was going to try and make a statement playing against the team that traded him. And boy, did he. And you know what? I'm happy for him. Okay, before we get to the Bulls' collapse, I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to our friends at Indochino. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. All right, now let us move on to the two players that most fans are hanging most of their hope on this season. Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen. Now, neither LaVine or Markkanen had a terrible game last night. LaVine finished with a team-high 21 points on 8 of 18, just 2 of 7 behind the three-point line, adding 5 rebounds, 3 assists. He did have 4 turnovers. And Markkanen last night, 18 points on 5 of 13, 2 of 6 behind the three-point line is, believe it or not, Markkanen's best effort behind the three-point line so far this season. He added 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. So, so far through four games, we have seen each of these two players have an amazing game. Lowry, the first game of the season, where he drops 35 and grabs 17 rebounds, showing us the entire wide variety of offensive arsenal that he has. And then Zach LaVine, in their win over Memphis, having a big bounce back game. Monster performance. And then the other three games have either been middling to mediocre to kind of okay to somewhere closer to downright awful. Last night, it was kind of a meh game for Markkanen and LaVine. And this game and the story of this game could have gone differently if the Bulls did not cough up that lead as they did late in the game, because Markkanen and LaVine each had big buckets in the fourth quarter when the Bulls had rebounded from coughing up the lead and had built the lead back up. With just over 5 minutes to go, Lowry had that nice cut to the basket. Satoransky finds him with a nice bounce pass. Markkanen flushes one to make it 90-88 Bulls. After a Satoransky layup, push the Bulls' lead to 92-88, and Randall makes a couple of free throws at the other end for the Knicks. You have LaVine burying a 30-foot three-point shot to push the Bulls' lead to 95-90, and then Markkanen on the ensuing possession, after a Julius Randle turnover, buries a three, finally, a crunch time three to give the Bulls a 98-90 lead with 3 minutes and 33 seconds remaining in the fourth. 8-point lead, 3.5 minutes. Compliments of a Zach LaVine three and a Lowry Markkanen three. But we all know what happened after that. The Bulls did not score a single point. From that point to the remainder of the game until there were zeros on the clock and the Bulls had let the Knicks go on a 15-0 run to come back and take the game. As Leila Rahimi said on postgame last night, the Bulls clutching defeat from the jaws of victory. Had the Bulls closed that game, we could be sitting here talking about how, yeah, it's just the Knicks, but the Bulls found a way to get a win on the road when, you know, Bobby was playing lights out and the Knicks were fighting for their life. RJ Barrett, the rookie, had a pretty impactful, you know, impact on, he had an impact on the game in a positive way. The Knicks are bad, but they played them tough, and the Bulls found a way to win, and largely they found a way to win thanks to big plays late from the two guys who were supposed to be the ones making big plays late, Zach LaVine and Lowry Markkanen. And unfortunately, there were just 3.5 extra minutes of basketball that prevented that from being the story. And in that 3.5 minutes of basketball, the Bulls, much like they did against Charlotte, much like they almost did against Memphis, just absolutely collapsed down the stretch. Offensive execution goes flying out the window. And I'm trying to not be too overly dramatic and, you know, pressing the panic button until his batteries run out, you know, over four games of basketball in an 82-game season. There is still a long way to go, and we can still see this Bulls team make some improvements this season. But we saw last night something that we saw last season. Zach LaVine, when asked to be the guy late in games, can maybe make some questionable decisions when it comes to his shot selection, when it comes to being a turnover-prone player late in games. And Lowry Markkanen, who, after making that three to push the Bulls' lead up, missed a three on the ensuing possession. And then, let's see, a few minutes later, as the lead is disappearing and the Bulls are now playing from behind, misses another three. And that is the last of what Markkanen did in that game. We saw Lowry attack the basket and score with ease in that season-opening loss to Charlotte. And then in some of these other games, we've seen him do what he did in preseason, which had some of us a little bit worried, which is hesitate to put the ball on the floor and drive to the hoop and instead just settle for that three-point shot. And when Lowry is hitting his threes at a 18.5% clip so far, yes, that is Lowry's three-point percentage so far this season, 18.5, a.k.a. 5 makes on 27 attempts, that's not ideal. That is not ideal. So between Lowry maybe settling and not being aggressive enough to attack the basket in those closeout moments of a game where you should be able to hold that lead. Yes, it was a lead built largely thanks to a couple of timely threes made by Lowry and Zach. But when you're having the lead and protecting the lead down the stretch, what are you supposed to do? Use up that clock and get yourself good looks at the basket. Attack the basket, get to the free throw line for some easy points to keep that lead where it is. We didn't see that. We didn't see Lowry or Zach close this game last night. They need to be better at that. They both need to be better at that. But it's not all on them, because there are certainly some questionable elements to how Jim Boylan decided to coach that game and close that game last night. So that's what we're going to talk about on deck. There are a lot of reasons that you can talk yourself into still having some faith that the Bulls can figure some stuff out and become a better team, become a team that can find ways to win games as this season progresses. Because there are some oddities so far that I don't think will necessarily continue. And it just happens to be that the Bulls have gotten out of the gate with some, you know, some bad luck, missing open looks. Like, do I think that Markkanen is going to continue to shoot 18.5% from behind the three-point line this season? No. Do I think Otto Porter Jr., who shot 48.8% behind the arc in 15 Bulls games last season after the trade, is going to continue his current season mark of 21.1% from behind the three-point line? No. Otto's averaging 7.3 points per game compared to the 17.5 points per game he gave the Bulls last season. Some of these things are going to improve. You would hope, if he sticks in the rotation, that Luke Kornet's three-point percentage is going to improve, because he's not shooting the ball well either. You know what? Neither is Satoransky. I've been calling on Twitter for the Bulls to give Satoransky more control, especially late in these games where the Bulls are coughing up leads, because he's the guy who has the best floor vision of anybody out there. He has the best decision-making skills. He's smart. He takes care of the basketball. And you saw him make a couple of really smart plays when he finally did get back in late in the fourth quarter to try to save that Bulls win. Wasn't enough, but I'm sorry. These people who think that Satoransky sucks because he's not contributing in the box score, you're not looking at the little things about what Satoransky does that makes this Bulls offense tick better than it does when he's not on the floor. And that's not a knock on Coby White, because I know there's a lot of Coby White love out there too. But all that to say, I mean, do I think the Bulls as a team, with Markkanen struggling, with Satoransky struggling, with Otto struggling, with Kornet struggling, are going to continue shooting just 28% from behind the three-point line this season? No. And if a couple threes here and there go in, maybe we're talking about a Bulls team that's 3-1 and not 1-3. That's entirely possible. But to me, the crux of these losses, didn't expect to beat Toronto. Even sans Kawhi, that team is much better than the team the Bulls have now. They know how to win. They know how to close games. The Bulls don't yet. But the narrow loss to Charlotte, the narrow victory over Memphis, and then coughing up this one to the Knicks. So much of this, I think, has to do with Jim Boylan and his inability to coach, his inability to make decisions, to make in-game adjustments, and to find the right way to close games. Look, the Bulls did manage to build an 18-point lead on the Knicks earlier in that game, largely, I think, because the Knicks are just that bad of a team. It was not pretty basketball. We were sitting there watching the game last night, and you know, Dave and John and I are saying, man, like, yeah, the Bulls are up double digits, but like, this is ugly basketball. And so much about Jim Boylan's rotation just befuddles me. It's like he has this system where he's like, all right, well, this is my rotation, and he sticks to that rotation regardless of what his opponent is doing. and the effectiveness or lack thereof of said rotations. Like, I'm sorry, but the Markkanen, Levine, Cornett trio, not working well. And then you have the, I mean, like, Markkanen and Levine were getting cooked in the pick and roll last night. Absolutely cooked. Whether it was, you know, Julius Randle and RJ Barrett running pick and roll or anybody else, that duo was the most effective, but they were getting cooked. Cornette, as the, you know, help defense guy when Markkanen and Levine were getting cooked in the pick and roll, really wasn't doing much rim protecting at all. Cornette has showed us that he has very, you know, next to zero ability to get out and switch on to smaller defenders and to do any kind of perimeter defending. He was getting beat off the dribble by plenty of different people last night, Bobby Portis included, when he was going nuts in the fourth quarter. And if Cornette's not giving you blocks at the rim, and then he's also not making his threes on the other end, then what the hell is Jim Boylan doing sticking with him in the rotation over, say, oh, I don't know, hashtag free Daniel Gafford? Unless Boylan is just terrified of Gafford not being ready, despite what we saw from him in those preseason minutes when he looked pretty darn good, like, what could the answer be? Because we heard NBC Sports Chicago's insider Casey Johnson ask Jim Boylan before that game last night about potentially switching his front court rotation when it comes to Cornette getting minutes over Gafford, and Jim Boylan said absolutely not changing that. And Jim Boylan after the game is talking about how the Bulls, you know, they lost for a variety of reasons, but one of them was that they got absolutely destroyed on the glass. And they did. Pretty sure the Knicks had like a 20-plus rebound advantage over the Bulls last night. You know how many rebounds Cornette had in his like 16 or 17 minutes? One. So if Boylan's telling us after the game that they got to be better at rebounding, and yet still before the game, you know, like brushed off the question of Gafford over Cornette as if it were almost a laughable question, What do you expect, Jim? What do you expect? You can't sit there after the game and say they crushed us on the boards and laugh at the notion before the game of playing Gafford over Cornette. What about that makes sense? Luke Cornette, 16 minutes, one rebound. Zero blocks, by the way. But Gafford can't get some minutes? Well, Cornette offers you things on the offensive end that Gafford doesn't. Apparently not right now. Look, maybe four games is too harsh to, you know, put somebody on the bench because they're struggling to knock down their shots at the other end. Because that is the reason you would think that Cornette's getting that run. But you got to try something different if what you're doing right now, what you're trying right now, isn't working. So to say, we weren't tough enough on the boards last night, and to stick with Cornette, it's completely antithetical. It doesn't make sense. Jim Boylan's contradicting himself with that. And then this other part of Jim's rotation right now that is just god-awful is when he goes with his three-point guards, Archie Diacono, Chris Dunn, and Kobe White, with Thad Young and Wendell. Is it me? Am I crazy? Or should Jim be staggering Wendell and Thad, who are his two best front court defenders? That's one of the big reasons they brought Thad Young here, is to slow down some of the dominant front court guys in the Eastern Conference that the Bulls have to go against so many times this season. And Thad Young has already shown us what he can be on the defensive end. Wendell Carter Jr. had not only his best game of the season, but perhaps one of the best games of his career last night, dropping 20 and 10 on 7 of 9, adding three blocks. We see the defensive, like, high ceiling potential with Wendell. Thad Young, an established, trusted veteran on both ends, makes smart plays on the defensive end, can contest and guard guys bigger than he is. And you pair them together with three-point guards? What? And that lineup has one of the worst net ratings of any lineup that the Jim has put out there through the first four games. Because no offense to anybody in that lineup, but outside of Coby White, who can you really rely on to get buckets? Which is why, again, people clamoring for Coby White to start. Look, I get that you think the kid is young and exciting and talented and he can get buckets and create his own shot and do all these things and he's shooting the ball better than Zadaransky or Dunn or Archie or any of those guys. Whatever. Coby White needs to get buckets in that second unit. If you take Coby White out of that second unit, where are you getting your points? Should Coby have played more than 16 minutes last night? Yeah, absolutely. But I still think that Zadaransky primarily being the one to play alongside Zach LaVine is the better way to go. There's lots of games left. We can still, you know, play and tinker around with some things to see what works and what doesn't. And you can have moments where Coby is getting run with a majority of that first unit cast of characters. But that five-man lineup of Coby, Archie, and Dunn with Thad and Wendell makes no sense to me. And playing Lowry and Cornette in the front court together makes no sense to me. It's like Jim is only trying to do a defensive unit and then only trying to do an offensive unit. And right now, that strategy, not working. Not working. Maybe stagger Zach LaVine and Lowry Markkanen some more. Maybe split up Wendell and Thad. So you have at least one legitimate front court defender on the floor at all times. Have one of Zach LaVine or Lowry Markkanen on the floor at all times. And I don't know, you know, if it's putting Hutch in there, if he's earned minutes when he comes back for his hamstring, or God forbid Denzel Valentine, who can't crack Jim Boylan's rotation despite theoretically being completely healthy. But that three-point guard lineup is not working. Jim Boylan's rotation is not working. And, you know, to cap it off, we have this instant last night where Jim Boylan calls a timeout with 0.5 seconds left at the end of the third quarter. And everybody is like, wait, did Jim Boylan just call timeout? Even on the national broadcast, Mike Breen was like befuddled. I'm pretty sure Will Gottlieb has the clip on Twitter. If you go find it, shout out to Will. Mike Breen saying, Jim Boylan calls a timeout? I'm Ron Burgundy? It made no sense. Especially considering that coming out of that timeout with 0.5 seconds, all they did was just inbound the ball to Coby White, who maybe was doing some, you know, field goal percentage preservation or whatever, or was not aware. Either way, waits until after the buzzer and then just chucks one, and it's pointless. Turns out, after doing a bit more digging, Will Gottlieb, in that same thread that features Mike Breen being confused, Mike Breen went back and clarified, coming into the start of the fourth quarter, that Jim Boylan took that timeout with 0.5 seconds on the clock at the end of the third because he currently had five timeouts, and you cannot carry five timeouts into the fourth quarter per NBA timeout rules. So because he would have lost the timeout at the start of the fourth quarter because he couldn't bring five into the quarter, he took it there with 0.5 seconds left. Okay. Just real basic here. If you're going to take that timeout with 0.5 seconds left, maybe draw up a play where you're trying to, I don't know, maybe get a lob and, you know, like a quick, you know, layup oop somewhere near the basket, or a quick inbounds pass where you get Zach LaVine or Coby the ball streaking across half court where they can maybe take a shot from on the plus side of half court as opposed to getting the ball inbounded to Coby White behind half court. If you're going to take the timeout so that you don't lose the timeout, at least try to do something with it. Or, here's another wacky idea. Maybe, Jim Boylan, you just say, all right, I didn't use that timeout. Let's just go to the fourth quarter. Because nobody would have noticed. Bulls fans watching the game Mike Breen and other broadcasters calling the game wouldn't have noticed a damn thing about the NBA rules of not bringing five timeouts in the fourth quarter if you had just not taken the timeout and just gone to the fourth quarter. Oh, well, when you come back from break, here it is. Not five timeouts, but four. The Bulls have four timeouts entering the fourth quarter. All right, that should be enough for Jim Boylan, right? Should be enough. We've already had a game this season where he's run out of timeouts and didn't have one when he needed one. But four timeouts to start the fourth, that should be okay. Instead, Boylan opens himself up to this pre-existing notion that he doesn't know how to use his timeouts by bringing attention to a completely stupid and useless timeout. What the hell are you doing, Jim? You're putting a magnifying glass on your incapability to do the simplest things that NBA head coaches do, like use their fucking timeouts. My God. And look, I don't like piling on Jim Boylan. I don't love piling on Jim Boylan. I do genuinely like the guy. In a handful of interactions we've had, I do genuinely like the guy and believe he wants this team to succeed and believe he cares about his players. But right now, he is looking in every which way like a guy completely in over his head. He took Fred Hoiberg's job. Just took it from him. And the Bulls said, yep, this is our guy. This is who we want. Reinsdorf, senior and junior, convinced that this is the guy they need. John Paxson, convinced that this is the guy they need. Gar Foreman, yep, this is our guy. Everyone involved looks stupid for this guy being the guy. And look, again, some of the things on the court can get better and probably will. Namely, the shooting percentages. They're bound to go up. God help us if they don't. But even still, with these poor shooting performances against these teams that you're theoretically supposed to beat, the Bulls schedule out of the gate one of the easiest across the league. And people were saying, yeah, the Bulls schedule down the stretch of the season is real tough. They got that 5-game West Coast road trip. You know, they don't play any of the big world beater teams until mid-late season. Charlotte, Memphis. Yeah, okay, Raptors is a tough one, but Knicks. We got the Cavs on deck on Wednesday. It's like most Bulls fans were saying, all right, even if you take the L's at Toronto, you should start 4-1. Zach LaVine, after the game, said, I feel like we should be 3-1, but it's flipped the other way around. Mostly thanks to some lack of execution and lack of coaching from Jim Boylan. Don't love piling on, but right now, other than LaVine and Lowry struggling to close and be this team's closers and bona fide stars in this league through four games, each of them has only had one really, really good game through four. This team's biggest problem right now appears to be that everyone above Jim Boylan believes that he is the guy for this job. And everyone other than that who is paying attention to this can see pretty clearly that Jim Boylan doesn't have a fucking clue what he's doing. That's the ugly truth. So, I guess we'll get to try again against the Cavs on Wednesday. If we lose that game, oh dear God. Just a reminder to hit us up on that text to voicemail line 331-979-1369 with your thoughts about this Knicks loss. What do you think about Jim Boylan's rotation so far? Would love to hear it. We'll get to some mailbag later in the week. Hopefully Jordan and I can hop on the mics together at least a couple of times between now and Friday. And as always, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. I'm at Bulls_Peck. He is at Jordan C. Malley. Appreciate all of you out there listening in Bulls Nation. And by the way, give a follow and give a listen to our fellow Locked On Chicago family of podcasts. Sean Sears with Locked On Cubs. James Wasky doing a great job so far with Locked On Blackhawks. We just brought Herb Lawrence on board with Locked On White Sox, which is very exciting. I know a lot of you Sox fans out there have been waiting and wanting the Sox to join the Locked On family. You can now do that. And, of course, Lauren Cox is always holding things down for Locked On Bears. Check out all of that content, and we will talk to you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening, Chris. Peace out.
Portis. Bang! Bobby Portis ties the game. double team, finds Randall, kicks it out, Portis. Portis the fake, steps back, three-pointer, bang! First lead of the night. Randall kicks it out, Portis tries again, puts it in! Bobby Portis does it again!
I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm out.
So I'm out.
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 But I'm out.
I don't know about this place, man. I just stayed in my hotel room, man. Every time I look out my window, it's pretty depressing out here, man. It's bad. It's bad.
So you're not going out?
No. No going out in Cleveland, man. It's all factories.
Do you regret anything that you said about Cleveland?
Not at all. You like it? You think Cleveland's cool? I mean, I never heard anybody say, I'm going to Cleveland on vacation. What's so good about Cleveland?
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com